The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Let's just get the score and everything else out of the way. The Bucks snap a four-game losing streak. They finish the regular season series 2-2 with the Boston Celtics. And look, the Boston Celtics have clearly been the best team in the league this season. Start to finish, they have not had any lulls. They have been running away with this conference 14 games now in front of the second-seeded Bucks. It's the largest difference between a one seed and a two seed we've seen in decades. Just for reference, 1 through 11 in the West, the first seed and the 11th seed, the first team out of the postseason, 16 games separating those teams. And you have the Celtics 14 games up on the second best team in the East. So it's a very, very good team. I don't think there's fear from the Bucks with the Boston Celtics, right? When you look at the four games they played this season, I understand the Celtics were playing five games in 4 days or whatever it was, and the challenges they were up against. I understand it was a night two of a back-to-back. The Bucks were in the same spot a year ago. How quickly we forget that, and saw a similar result against the Boston Celtics. But the Bucks blew out the Celtics in that first matchup in Fiserv form. Took a 37-point lead into halftime. Now tonight, you didn't have Kristaps Porzingis, you did not have Al Horford. But the Bucks still took a 20-point lead into halftime against a team, again, that has been very, very consistently good all season long. Those two losses in Boston, by a combined total of 6 points, 3-point loss in each of them, and that last one especially, the Bucks had their chances to take that. So I think there is a healthy amount of respect, but I don't think there's fear from the Bucks with this Boston Celtics team. However, the elephant in the room is everything changes for this team, for the conference, for the postseason in general, if you don't have number 34 on the floor. We do not know the status of Giannis for the rest of the season here. I would be stunned if you see Giannis play tomorrow in night two of a back-to-back against the Orlando Magic. And look, as we've all kind of talked about and tried to rationalize with ourselves, we saw this a couple of years ago as well when Giannis suffered that knee injury in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. We all thought the same thing. Season is over. Next season is going to be dramatically impacted as well. And just over a week later, Giannis returns to play in the NBA Finals. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think we all assumed the worst-case scenario when you saw it was non-contact, when you saw where Giannis was reaching floor four, and the fact that he needed to be helped off the floor. It does not sound as though it is that worst-case news, which would be an Achilles injury. But again, as Doc Rivers said, he is still going to be undergoing testing later on and in the coming days. So there's not much we know, and that's the tough part, is playing the waiting game here and trying to assess from there what the status of Giannis is, because that is going to determine what the ceiling of this team is. As Doc Rivers has said, I still remain very, very confident in this team. And has said all along the way, you know, we're getting better, we're seeing things cleaned up, I know we'll get there. But a big piece of that is having Giannis on the floor. So we will check in and see if there have been any updates since, as I know Bucks players are now starting to address the media, but we heard the big things from Doc Rivers. We'll revisit some of those comments as well and get your thoughts as this losing streak comes to an end, but did it come with a price? More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
They're testing him for the calf right now, which is obviously MRI.
Okay, so he's getting...
They'll check them both, yeah.
Okay, they'll do both. Okay, and as far as you know, there's no updates on that. It's just...
No, he just left a little while ago.
That is Doc Rivers when asked about Giannis. And again, Giannis left this game late in the third quarter, a non-contact injury. We didn't even see what had happened. Is it all... All happened very fast. You just saw Giannis on the floor struggling not even attempting, I should say, to get up and needing some help. Walking off the floor into the tunnel, did not return to the game. The team announced it was a soleus strain and that he would not return to the game. I think all of us went to WebMD and just immediately searched for what is a soleus and saw it is a calf issue. Look, when you saw the replays and when you saw where Giannis was grabbing at his leg, the one thing you typically hear with any type of Achilles injury, when you rupture that, is it feels like somebody kicked you in the back of the leg. And the fact that there was no contact and you saw Giannis reach for the top portion of his back leg, I think we all had the worst fears of potentially Achilles. We did not get it confirmed. That could not be that. As you heard, just heard from Doc Rivers, he's undergoing multiple tests. But the team has deemed this a calf injury. So that is the somewhat good news. Now, I will caution with this. Calf injuries can certainly linger, and those can take time. So this by no means means the Bucks are out of the woods. We saw Pat Connaughton miss more than a month a season ago with a calf injury. All calf injuries and all injuries, period, are different. But those can also take time, and it would be coming at the worst possible time with the playoffs now about a week and a half away. That's what makes it tough to really assess where this team is headed. And again, it's just more of the whenever it seems like you get those three guys on the floor together, something happens. At least under Doc Rivers. You know, the Bucks were very, very fortunate with their health early in the season. That has started to change. And since the coaching change was made, you just haven't had those reps and those minutes and those games together with those four guys, really, lumping in Brook Lopez. 16-game absence for Chris Middleton. Tomorrow, by the way, is night two of a back-to-back. You have to assume that means you won't see Chris Middleton. I'm going to have to assume we won't see Giannis. And that, again, leaves you with, okay, what do you have for your firepower? That's what made holding on and winning this game all the more important. Because if you lost tonight, we can update a few additional scores here. The New York Knicks beat the Chicago Bulls. So had you lost this game, you are now tied in the loss column. The Cavaliers were idle tonight. The Orlando Magic have lost. They lose in Houston to the Rockets, 118-106. So again, and now we've seen more and more games go final. All of those Eastern Conference games are final. The Miami Heat did win in double overtime. So both the Hawks and the Bulls lose. The Pacers won. The 76ers won. So all of those teams chasing the sixth seed, in the case of the Sixers and the Miami Heat, trying to get out of the play-in tournament, and the Indiana Pacers trying to hold off those teams, they all won. That puts even more pressure on, you know, not just the Cavs and the Magic, the Bucks and the Knicks. So with all those three teams winning, had you lost tonight, you're tied with the Knicks. You're still just one game up on the Magic in the loss column, one game on the Cavs, and you would suddenly only be two games in the loss column up on the Indiana Pacers, who hold that tiebreaker against you. So we do know the Bucks cannot finish any lower than sixth, right? All the fears of this is going to be a play-in tournament team, they can't slide that far. Sixth is the lowest that they can drop. And had they lost this game tonight, that would very much be in play for all of those reasons that we just pointed out. It does seem with this win tonight, again, you're not out of the woods yet. But if you can win tomorrow against the Orlando Magic, who the benefit there is are also entering on night two of a back-to-back, and they have to travel. If you can win that game, at the very least, you would split the season series. So the head-to-head tiebreaker would have to come down to a number of things. It would come down to a divisional record or conference record and who won their division. It appears both the Bucks and the Magic are going to win their divisions, assuming you can hold off the Cavaliers. That it would come down to conference record. And again, you win that game tomorrow, you're 34-17 in conference, and the Magic would be 31-19. And you just have one more Eastern Conference matchup left on your schedule. So you're in a good spot there. A win tomorrow goes a very, very, very long way in securing the 2 seed for the Bucks. And look, we've talked about this quite a bit, the last couple of days especially, but weeks. In terms of trying to figure out your draw and what your path will be and first round, right? I'm not concerned with that when we talk about locking up your seed and securing that 2 seed. Part of this is just home court advantage, and we've seen the Bucks 18-20 on the road this season, 2 games left on the road. So best case scenario for the Bucks is a 500 road record. Now, I know I pointed this out before. The Denver Nuggets had a below 500 record on the road last season. They won a championship. Miami Heat were below 500 as well. They reached the NBA Finals. But that is not common. You don't want to be in that spot. So home court advantage, all the more important, given how well, up until this stretch recently, the Bucks have played here. That's the important part. It's not so much what it means. And again, it's not worrying about who you get as the 7th seed as of this moment. It would be the 76ers or the Miami Heat. It's not worrying about that. It's maximizing the amount of home games that you can get. 800-990-3776 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So again, we'll take a look at some of the most up-to-date scenarios and what the numbers say. Where are the Bucks projected to finish, and what does that mean for the rest of the Eastern Conference? Any other news that trickles out from Giannis, we will get to that as well after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
Yeah, you know, listen, as I told you, I love coaching this team. I love these guys. I have a ton of confidence in what we're going to do. But you still needed a win just to get the glaze off of you, whatever it was. And it's good to see our guys smiling and laughing today. That helps. Winning helps that. So, you know, well, we still got work to do, and we're going to still do it. And everyone knows on our team that we have work, and we're just going to keep working. Got a week of work left, or a week and a half, whenever game one is. And that's what we have to do.
Week and a half left in this regular season, or before the postseason begins, I should say, as the regular season ends on Sunday for the Bucks. That will end Sunday afternoon in Orlando against the Magic, and the playoffs begin 1 week from Saturday. So your first-round matchup will either be Saturday or Sunday when that series begins for the Bucks, and that right now is the concern. No other way to put it is the status of Giannis. That is not a whole lot of time between now and when the postseason begins, and if it is any type of a severe calf injury, that could be multiple weeks we're talking about in terms of recovery and being ready to return to the floor. We still did not get any confirmation it is not an Achilles. So again, wait and see mode. And that's, as many people have said, the waiting is the hard part. And that's what we're doing. Similar position that the Bucks were in 3 years ago when Giannis went down in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and we all assumed the worst as well. With that knee injury and how it appeared, we ultimately saw Giannis return just over a week later for the NBA Finals. So you certainly hope that's the case again, and you were able to avoid any severe major injury, and that Giannis continues to be made out of plastic and rubber and is just unflappable. That's the hope. But again, we will wait and see when those updates continue to roll in. There have been a lot of updates from Twitter doctors and actual physicians as well that have weighed in on this and said, here's some of the tests that we would do and pointing things out. Look, take that and do with that what you will. Again, I think it's pointless to get wrapped up in this and to assume the worst and to jump with one possible scenario over another when we just don't know. And we won't know until we get that update from the team. So we will certainly keep an eye on the injury report for night 2 of the back-to-back tomorrow against the Magic. I would be stunned, and I'm sure everybody listening as well would be stunned, if Giannis is anything but out for that game tomorrow against the Magic. I mentioned those scores that have gone final. All the Eastern Conference games have wrapped up. So again, Bucks are a game in front of the New York Knicks. The Bucks are second. The Knicks are third. The Orlando Magic are currently fourth. They are 2 games back of the Bucks. The Cavaliers are fifth. They are also 2 games back. And the Indiana Pacers are sixth. The Pacers could catch the Bucks. Pacers would need to win their final two games. The Bucks would need to lose their final three games. And by way of having the head-to-head tiebreaker, the Pacers would finish in front of the Bucks. Now, obviously, they need to worry about the Knicks, the Magic, and the Cavaliers, but Indiana could move up. So it could be anywhere from 2-6 that the Bucks finish this season. However, with all these scores out of the way, we've updated you on here's the Bucks' percent odds of finishing X, Y, or Z along the way. Earlier in the week, last week, before this four-game skid began, the Bucks had a near 80% chance of being the 2 seed. We saw that plummet all the way to 42% following the loss to the Knicks on Sunday. 42% chance to be the 2 seed. The second best odds the Bucks had in terms of where they would finish were 4th. As of this moment, with this score final, with the Knicks score final, with the Magic score final, with the Cavaliers being idle tonight, the Bucks' odds have jumped up to 61%. 61% chance to get the 2 seed and a 20% chance at 3. So in other words, better than 80% odds, they will not finish any lower than 3rd. That's the importance of winning this one game and keeping the pace with those other teams. And again, the advantages you have, specifically the fact that the Knicks have moved past the Magic and the Cavaliers as that team most directly behind you, you have the tiebreaker against the Knicks. You don't have it against the Cavaliers. You won't have it against the Cavaliers. You don't have it at this moment, and you can lose it against the Orlando Magic. So this shifted things a great deal for the Bucks. An 80% chance they will finish no lower than 3rd in the Eastern Conference. A lot comes with that. Obviously, your draw is a big part of the importance of where you finish, but the big part for this team was just winning and snapping this four-game losing streak, seeing some of those things that we saw on the floor tonight. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at the odds for those teams chasing the Bucks, and more importantly, what do we project the play-in tournament to look like? Because 61% chance at the 2 seed, if you win tomorrow, that 61% chance is going to go up dramatically as well. Again, a win tomorrow, it's not going to clinch the 2 seed for you, but it is going to go a long way in doing that and potentially set up a scenario where the New York Knicks need to win out and you need to lose both of your remaining games in order for them to catch you. So we'll bring you up to speed on that after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Offense starting to get going here a little bit early. Middleton puts up a contested three, and he drains it from straight on. Tough shot from Cash Money, who's trying to carry his team the way he did in that Eastern Conference Finals.
Chris Middleton, huge for the Bucks tonight. And look, I suppose we have not spent enough time talking about what we saw in the actual game outside of the injury to Giannis, but that is the biggest story for this team because that may ultimately shape their future, at least this season, and how far this team advances in the postseason. But Chris Middleton was absolutely fantastic tonight. And he may have been the biggest singular reason why the Bucks won this game because of his performance early in the fourth quarter when this game was certainly interesting. As Doc Rivers said afterwards, we were in a fog for a couple of minutes, the players and the coaches, after you witnessed what had happened to Giannis. That was tough to shake and get out of. But Chris Middleton, a perfect 3 of 3 in that fourth quarter, 7 points, 2 assists, and that all came early in the fourth, in those minutes directly after Giannis left the game. So you played for a couple of minutes where Boston was making this much, much closer. And I kind of said, during halftime too, is in some ways, I know it's be careful what you wish for, but in some ways, you want to see the Celtics go on a run. Right, you don't want to give up the lead, but you want to see that margin start to shrink. You want to see this become a 3 or 4 possession game. You want to see the Celtics get it to 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. so you can see how this team responds, because they had had to deal with quite a bit of that these last four games. When you think about the losing streak, you think about that lead, a large lead against the New York Knicks, a very, very clean and good first half, and how that game swung in the second half. So in many ways, you know, you wanted to see the same thing in this game. You wanted to see that push, that test from the Celtics, just to see how this team would respond. They got it down to 11, the Celtics did, after that Jaylen Brown layup late in the third quarter. That was after Giannis left the game. Jason Tatum missed a pretty good look at three on their final possession. That would have made it an 8-point game, but it was 11 going into the fourth quarter. That's what you wanted to see, is, okay, they started to make their charge. Where do we go from here? And where the Bucks went was keeping that margin at around 14 or 15 points for basically the rest of the game, and Chris Middleton was the biggest reason behind that. Started the quarter hot. Bobby Portis makes his first shot. It's a 13-point game, and then Chris Middleton goes to work with 5 straight points to help push that margin back to 18 before you knew it. Chris Middleton was huge for this team. He would add another basket a couple of possessions later. He was as instrumental as anyone in keeping that margin at around 15 or 16 points for really the first half of the fourth quarter, and essentially starting to put the game on ice. 12 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds for Chris Middleton on a 5 of 8 shooting night. And the passing and playmaking ability, to me, is what has stood out the most about Chris this season. It has always been there, but you've needed it more this season. And I think, too, with the makeup of the team, with the way things have shifted, that you've become an offensive team, and some of the rotations and staggering that we've seen, more often than not, Chris Middleton has been the player that has been playing with the second unit. And we've seen Chris Middleton essentially become the de facto point guard, backup point guard of this team for large, large stretches of the season. He is still, for whatever reason, the only guy that seems capable of getting that entry pass into Giannis. And he's been like a second coach on the floor for this team. You're starting to see more and more of that efficiency. He looks as good as he's ever looked offensively. And I think you saw that tonight. That was what one of the more remarkable things of this performance by the whole team was tonight. Giannis scored 15 points. A lot of that had to do with the injury and with exiting late in the third quarter. Only 28 minutes played. 7 of 11 from the floor was Giannis in a game, again, where he did not have to contend with Kristaps Porzingis or Al Horford. But you were up by 20-plus points, where Giannis was just at 15 points. You know, Damian Lillard, it wasn't a crazy Damian Lillard game. There was no singular force on this team offensively that was just dominating. This was truly a balanced team attack offensively. And again, in many ways, that is exactly what this team needed. I think more importantly, they needed the 47% shooting from three. They needed to start 8 of 10, as they did, given some of the slumps that they saw. They needed Malik Beasley to start to see the ball go through the net, and he hit one big late three-pointer. They needed all those things to happen. They got it, and now the big thing is, how do you build on this? How do you get yourself right? How do you get in a best spot, or a good spot, or at least the best spot possible, as we wait and see on Giannis moving into the postseason? And look, we don't know if it's a calf strain, what it is exactly. What we do know is it's a calf injury, or at least that's what we have been told. He is still undergoing further tests. I know the video is out there. Giannis left the arena, walking out of the arena, clearly limping. So we're going to have to wait and see. If it is a grade 1 calf strain, I think that is the hope. That's anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks that you would be dealing with. If it's a grade 2, that's where it could stretch, right? That's where it could be 3 to 6 weeks. I believe that's what Pat Connaughton had a season ago, where he missed a little more than 4 weeks. If it's grade 3, that is worst-case scenario for this season. But the hope is it is not Achilles-related, because that would be the ultimate worst-case scenario, not only for this season, but what that would mean stretching into next season. We'll take a look at those teams, 6, 7, 8, what the projections are there, what that could potentially mean for the Bucks, and preview that matchup, a very, very big one, tomorrow night here inside of Fiserv Forum with the Orlando Magic. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
three-point try from Beverly, and he nails it from the left wing. Pat Bev has scored 20 points now for the Bucks.
Pat Bev led the team tonight with 20 points scored, and that was another thing. Saw the tweak to the starting lineup. Pat Beverly in the starting lineup tonight in place of Malik Beasley. It's the first time this season Malik Beasley has come off the bench. After the game, Doc Rivers asked about that decision and said he just wanted the energy. Pat's a veteran. He's an instigator, as Doc has joked quite a bit. But it's another ball handler. It's somebody else that will allow Damian Lillard to play off the ball. And he can push the tempo. As when Giannis doesn't have it or when Dame doesn't have it, you'll see Pat go get it and push the ball up the floor. One thing he did not mention is the defense. And he'd mentioned his defense specifically, but this part of it. I do think part of what we saw is you look at this four-game losing streak. As we talked about after each of those games, the Bucks' biggest issue was containing at the point of attack. Defending on the perimeter, they were getting beat. And that was bringing the opponent into the paint. We saw points in the paint explode. Offensive rebounds. The number of contests that Brook Lopez had. He can do that, but it pulls him away from the rim. You need to gang rebound. The Bucks were not doing that. So inserting Pat Beverly in the starting lineup gives you a point of attack defender and helped clean some of that up. Again, it's tough to really gauge what we saw tonight given the personnel that was not there for the Boston Celtics. And really just given some of the body language we saw from the Boston Celtics, this game clearly meant more to the Bucks than it did the Celtics. But they cleaned that up, and it gives a defensive counterpoint. Right, Damian Lillard is out there. It gives him a defender playing next to him, not to take anything away from Malik Beasley, but it helps your bench in terms of bench scoring. It's not just Bobby Portis. It's Bobby Portis and theoretically Malik Beasley, and you have a 1-2 punch offense and defense in the backcourt in terms of your starters with Damian Lillard and Pat Beverly. So I would be curious to see if Doc Rivers moves away from that or if we stick with that. But again, you're probably going to see another different starting lineup tomorrow as it's night two of a back-to-back, and I got to imagine Giannis will not be available. We'll see if there are any updates here overnight and certainly early in the morning and what the updates are on the injury report. So certainly keep an eye on that. But the next broadcast tomorrow night is the Bucks play host to the Orlando Magic. That is a 7 o'clock tip-off here inside of Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.